shooting from the lip.
We're taking no prisoners here. Real opinions for real people.
John Gaunt, shooting from the lip.
Hi, good afternoon and welcome to the latest edition of Shooting from the Lip with me, John Gaunt, on Sputnik International. It is the silly season. We normally talk about sharks off the coast of Cornwall, but no, now it's Boris Johnson. Boris Johnson has written an article in the Daily Telegraph where he doesn't call for a ban on the burqa of the veil, but he does say we need to look at what's happened in Denmark. There is one hell of a row going on now, with people saying the whip should be removed from him, other people saying this is Boris making a bid for the leadership. I thought we'd talk to a Muslim to get their view. And who better than Taj Haji, who's the imam of the Oxford Islamic congregation, and joins me now.
Shooting from the lip.
Good afternoon, Taj.
Good afternoon, John.
Was he Islamophobic to say what he said?
No, he was telling the truth. I mean, you know, these women that go around with hiding their faces and just their eyes popping out, it's equivalent not just to being a ninja, it's also equivalent of looking like a bank robber and looking like a letterbox.
So you actually think the language you used was fine, do you?
Yes, because, I mean, since when can't people say things? He's not saying they are that. He says they look like that. There's quite an important distinction there. And the point is, you know, are we living in a society we can't make general comments and we have to be politically correct all the time? And by the way, why are we legitimizing this mask by calling it a veil? It's a bloody mask. Can't we just say it's a mask? We should say, does this our society and its vaunted traditions, do we accept facial masking? So how come it's fine in our society for a woman to mask her face, have public anonymity, but men can't? So what type of society do we have now, gender inequality? Either men also have a right to cover their faces and hide their identity, or they don't. So how come we are making exception to women, and especially just to Muslim women?
Okay. Well, talk to me about that. Is it an Islamic religious right to wear the veil? Is it in the Quran? Speak to me as a non-Muslim and tell me what the rules are.
The word, for example, the niqab and burqa doesn't even appear in the Quran. This is a pre-Islamic custom that dates about 2,000 years before the birth of Islam, when the ancient Persians introduced this aristocratic custom where they said that the noble women should hide their faces from the gaze of the hoi polloi, the riffraff. That aristocratic custom spread to Byzantium, modern-day Turkey. And when Islam arrived on the scene in modern Turkey and in Iran, centuries ago, they then adopted this local practice and conveniently gave it a religious justification. So there's nothing in the Quran. I'm going to go just very quickly the reason why I'm vehemently opposed to the burqa. The burqa is a pre-Islamic thing. It is a non-Quranic thing. Automatically, it makes it un-Muslim. It also leads to gender inequality because men can't cover their faces. So all of these things makes it absolutely imperative that we should follow what the French, the Danes, the Dutch, the Austrians have done.
So just explain to me then about the veil. When did they start wearing it in this country? And are more women wearing it now than ever?
Yes, because whoever pays the piper calls the tune. So the Saudis, the Wahhabis, our wonderful friends that we sell lots of weapons to, they are, in the last 20 to 30 years, they are funding and bankrolling all the major mosques in this country, up and down the country, and they come along with their tribal customs, with this hideous garb, and they're saying, listen, for you to be a Muslim, you need to cover your face. And so these male clergy, they're all men, they tell the women, hey, you want to go to heaven, then you must cover your face. Now, the point is, did God tell women to cover their face? No. Who told them to cover their faces? It's the men. And the men from where? The men from the Middle East and backward parts of South Asia. So we should stop following manufactured masculine rules, and Muslims should just follow the Quran that talks that both genders should be modest in public, and that's all. Nothing about facial masking, nothing about hair covering. These are all masculine devised rules whereby they're interested in subjugating, oppressing, and controlling women. Because if you tell a woman what to wear and how to dress, and she stupidly, in my opinion, accepts what the man is telling her, Ultimately, she's internalizing these masculine dictates, and then the men are halfway there towards controlling them. If a man succeeds in telling a woman what to wear, then the next step eventually is for who to, she should vote, what she do with her money and everything else.
Can I take you back to what you said about Saudi Arabia? Are you saying the criticism that's coming by Theresa May, and she has hung Boris out to dry, she is demanding an apology, you're saying that's Saudi influence because we sell them jets, we sell them armaments? Is that what you believe?
Yeah, to a large extent, but she's also catering for, because she's in such a rocky position, precarious position. She's been a failure as a Brexit prime minister. In fact, she should be resigning. And so now she's diverting attention from her failure with the Brexit negotiations and coming and pandering to right-wing Muslims who think that they are true Muslims by getting women to be like ninjas and letterboxes and bank robbers.
Let's just talk about that Saudi Arabian influence that you talked about. Do you think that the funding of mosques and madrasas by particularly Saudi Arabia should be stopped? Do you think that is at the root of jihadism in this country?
Without a doubt. I mean, you know, for example, we never had Muslim militancy and extremism in this country until the Saudis started funding mosques. The Saudis started funding mosques in the 1980s, especially after the Iranian Revolution. Why? The Iranian Revolution occurred in 1979, and so there was a big battle for influence in the Middle East and elsewhere in the Muslim world. And so the Saudis thought, listen, the way for us to curb Iranian radicalism is for us to take the lead in funding mosques everywhere in the world to spout our ideology, this backward ideology, primitive ideology of Wahhabi Salafi Islam, whereby they only believe that their way is the right way and everyone else is destined for the fires of hell.
Okay, so is the growth of the face covering up? Because Boris Johnson says the reason he doesn't call for a complete ban is that this will eventually fade out. What do you say?
He's living in la-la land. In fact, it's growing. I mean, most of these women who are having these face masks, these are younger women. Their mothers never wore that. Their grandmothers never wore that. So how come they think that they are now Muslim by wearing it and their own mothers and grandmothers didn't do so? Because they have been conditioned, I would actually go as far as saying they've been brainwashed to buy the masculine clergy that they should wear this because this will take them straight to God. There's a passport to paradise. They don't pass go. They don't go to jail. They go straight to paradise.
Is it, though, only just a piece of cloth? I used to be a punk rocker. My dad didn't like me dressing like that. No. Are you sure you're not just getting carried away here?
It has nothing to do with your dress. It's about public concealment of face. Please, do not equate it to punk rockers and to Jewish yarmulkes and to Sikh turbans. All of those things and other crazy garb, so to speak, you do not hide your identity. This is a deliberate facial concealment. We only talk, they can wear black as long as they like. In fact, many people wear black and there's no issue with that. Okay. So it's nothing to do with any other part of the anatomy except the face we're talking about. Because in our society, in the United Kingdom, your face is your marker. Okay, so why is it that our society is tolerating a subgroup of people to say, fine, you alone have the right for public anonymity and everything, everyone else, including John Gordon and Taj Hagi, will have to show their ugly faces in public.
So do you think the Denmark ban, which talks not about the niqab or the burqa, but talks about face covering, is that where we should go? And therefore, was Boris right to say he didn't want a total ban, he just wanted the faces of everyone uncovered?
You can't be half pregnant, so Boris needs to understand that. Okay, and we should go along the Danish route. They are one of the most liberal countries in the world. You should know that. You've been there, I've been there. And they are saying all facial maskings in public, whether it is a fancy dress party, whether it's a motorcycle helmet, whatever, except when you are on the motorcycle, everything else, when you enter a bank, a school, a hospital, a university, a college, or whatever, you need to show your face. That's the issue we're talking about. Now, if these a ninja woman, these face-masked women want to cover their faces, then they have two choices. One is to stay at home and cover their face, or two, to get out of the home and uncover their faces. They can't have it both ways.
Do you agree, and don't jump in too quick, because I know you're vehement about this, man, with Lord Sheikh, who says Boris Johnson's burqa comments will encourage bigotry and Islamophobia. What do you think?
No, he's way off base. This man, firstly, what authority does he have to speak with? He's nothing but a businessman. He's never been held in elected officer office. He hasn't even been elected to a dog catcher in Huddersfield. So, I mean, so what right does he have to talk? And that's number one. Number two, who is encouraging Islamophobia and anti-Muslim sentiment? Are these Wahhabis and Salafis who insist in bringing this tribal garb, which is this ninja-like costume is, and imposing it in our society? Now, I would say to these people who feel that they have to wear this tribal garb to be proper Muslims, I say, fine, yes, you're right. That's your choice. But number one, do not conflate and confuse it with Islam, because it's not part of the Quran. Okay. And number two, if you feel you must have it, then here is a £20 towards a one-way ticket to La La Land, to Sharia Land, to Wahhabi Land, where you can cover your face to your heart's delight.
Okay, stop there for a moment, because Lord Sheikh, he is the founder of the Conservative Muslim Forum, and he does say, I think to a certain extent, these comments are racist. In a way, it is racist. These words are very inflammatory. You are a Muslim. Do you see it as racist?
No, it's nothing to do with people's race. Because, for example, there could be a white woman convert to Islam who's been bamboozled and brainwashed, and she would also wear a face mask. So it's got nothing to do with race. You can't equate this as racism. This is about an ideology, a philosophy that's anathema to our modern liberal values. That is the disagreement that we are having. It's nothing to do with race. And by the way, there's no such a thing as a Muslim race.
Yeah.
Okay? There is no such thing. There's such a thing as a Muslim religion, but not the Muslim race.
No, I agree with you. If it's not racist, or you don't believe in that because Muslims are not a race, is there such a thing as Islamophobia?
Yes, to some degree, because, for example, there is such a thing as anti-Semitism, where people hate and detest Jews for totally groundless reasons. And there are some people on the right wing, especially in our country, the EDL, the BNP, and such ultra-right-wing fascists, who just for any reason would dislike the fact that there is another religion that actually challenges Christianity or certain values in this society. So, but to label everything that people are doing as Islamophobia, I think is nonsensical. This idea that people are wearing this type of repugnant, egregious dress that differentiates them, that puts them apart from the rest of society. And by the way, these face mask women, they think they're superior to other Muslim women. They think that, you know, that they're entitled to this because this is taking them straight to heaven. So, yes, there is Islamophobia in this country, but this particular incident has got nothing to do with this. This is to do with the fact that these people want to bring in Saudi customs, Afghan practices, and impose this on this society. That should be fought resolutely, and I'm in the forefront of doing so. I would like to lead a campaign I have done, but the society wasn't quite ready, that we should ban the burqa. And we should now take the lead from the Danes, whereby they said all facial masking. So we're not exceptionalizing and picking out Muslims alone. We're telling anyone who's in public, their faces should be uncovered. And it has nothing to do with the dress code. So you want to be a punk rocker? Go ahead.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with that.
I want to develop that with you in just a couple of moments, if I can, Tarq. I'm talking to Tarq Haji. He is the imam of the Oxford Islamic Congregation. This is John Gaunt. This is Sputnik International. This is Shooting from the Lip. Short break, and then we're back with more.
Shooting from the Lip.
We're taking no prisoners here. Real opinions for real people.
John Gaunt. Shooting from the Lip.
You're back with John Gaunt, and I'm talking to Tarq Haji. Tarq, you talked a moment ago about wanting to lead a campaign to ban the burqa. Do you mean the whole thing? The whole of Islamic dress?
Yes, and we're talking about the facial mask here only. I'm not worrying about people wearing a headscarf or any other type of dress, because that doesn't conceal identity. We shouldn't allow anyone in this country, and by the way, since when is it a fundamental human right to have public anonymity. I haven't seen it in the UN Charter for Human Rights. In fact, the European Court of Human Rights have thrown out the case by face-clad women for protesting that their human rights were infringed by them not being allowed to cover their faces. So there's no legal reason for them to wear this. There's no religious reason for them to wear this. They have conflated the culture and the ideology of a nefarious interpretation of Islam that's propagated by the primitive Saudis and their allies like ISIS and Al-Qaeda. These are all Saudi products, by the way. ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Taliban, all of these people.
Do you feel that this is all being blown out of proportion? Because let's face it, it's only a small proportion of the Muslim community who are wearing this stuff. So are we all getting our knickers in a twist over nothing?
No, because this is a Trojan horse. Do you think that Muslim extremists and fundamentalists will be content with just having the face mask and they will shut up and go away? No, once they achieve that as the norm and legitimize it in this society of ours, they'll come after other things. And the ultimate aim is to create an Islamic Republic of Britain now. If that's going to happen, say, tomorrow, I'm out of here today. I do not want to live under any Islamic system of government.
It's very interesting you say that, because I had somebody on Twitter this morning saying this is all about the Islamification of Western Europe and Britain in particular. And when you first hear that, I think, my God, that's a bit extreme, that's a bit right-wing, that's a bit fascist. But as a Muslim, you fear that as well, do you?
Absolutely. This is a gateway theology. We talk about drugs, a gateway drug. So, okay, you start with cannabis, and then whatever, you end up with speed and crack cocaine or whatever. So this is a gateway theology. It's going to lead to other forms of extremism, of the whole notion of them and us. This brand of Islam is to create them and us.
So do you think, if anything, it's not Boris's remarks that's going to cause a rise in Islamophobia or attacks on other Muslims? It's the way Theresa May is handling it, because I'm getting the feeling that a lot of people, Muslim and non-Muslim, are siding with Boris, not with the Prime Minister. So if she doesn't handle it correctly, it could lead to more trouble against Muslims. Am I right? Am I wrong?
Absolutely. Boris is connected to the zeitgeist of our age. He knows how people are feeling up and down the country. I mean, you go to on any tube this evening, any bus this afternoon or whatever, and you meet someone and ask them, do you think people for concealing their identity, is that the right thing to do? I think 99.99 will say no. You have a right to wear what you like, but you do not have a right to conceal identity. Please, let us get this thing right. I'm not talking about the dress code here. Okay. We are talking about covering the face.
Lord Pickles says the remarks are a mistake, but they are a genuine attempt to open up a debate. Do we need that debate?
Absolutely. Okay, one simple question, John, and to your listeners. How come this thing, which has been on the front burner throughout Europe, has never been debated in our parliament? Never.
Tell me why.
Yeah, why? Because we have the Labour Party pandering to Muslims. We have the Conservative Party trying to jump in there. And then everyone wants to be white liberal, guilt-ridden people. Because we did bad things to them in their homelands, our great-grandfathers. So now we have to bend over backwards and for them to do whatever they please.
So are you saying what a lot of non-Muslim people say and are often shot down in flames for, that Muslims get treated with kid gloves by the establishment? Would you go that far?
Yes, for example, well, how come we have Muslim exceptionalism in virtually everything? We have Muslim exceptionalism with this burqa thing. We have Muslim exceptionalism in terms of halal meat and of various other things. All the time pandering to these people. Look here, if I want to join, the London Tennis Club, just for argument's sake.
Sure.
Now, the London Tennis Club will want two things from me. They want, of course, my dues, my fees.
Yeah.
And they want me to sign up to the rules and regulations.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm not willing to do both, I cannot be a member of the London Tennis Club. Now, people like myself, I'm an immigrant. When we came in, okay, there's no dues to pay, but we should have been made to sign up to the rules and regulations existing in Britain. In other words, the traditional British values. And one of the most enduring traditional British values is that you do not cover your face.
Do you mind me asking where you came from, Taj?
I'm imposing their views on us, on the wider public.
Okay, so where did you come from? You came into this country from where?
from South Africa. So I came here as a student, and I love this place. I came here in 1976, and I thought, my God, it's so hot here. I don't know why people are talking about why it's so cold.
So answer this question, then. Why do you think, and tell me whether I'm wrong to say this, I think the Muslim community in general, out of all the ethnic communities that have come into Britain, have been the ones who've been less able to integrate. I've got Sikh friends and Hindu friends. I've worked with a lot of Muslims when I was on BBC London, but I don't feel this the same level of integration. Am I wrong or right in that observation?
You're absolutely right, because the Islamic clergy, a retrogressive but patriarchal clergy, they thrive on creating a them and us narrative, because the them are all going to hell, and including you, John, and including me, by the way, and the us, the Muslims, that is, they're all going to heaven, and it never said to angel meet. The east is east and the west is west. And so they encourage this binary division, this polarity between Muslims and the wider public. And I've always said this, if that is what they are preaching, then why are they here? Why are they living in this kafir land, in this non-Muslim infidel land? If they hate it so much, why don't they take a one-way trip to Pakistan, to Yemen, to Saudi Arabia, wherever? I've never seen a young person go there to make a life there. They all stay here.
Okay, let's take a step back to what you mentioned was halal. Would you like halal to be banned in this country then?
No, I don't think we need to go ban anything of that nature, because some people, they don't want to eat, they want to eat meat along their ritual understanding.
Yeah.
They're entitled to do so. But for example, all Muslims should be told this classic verse in the Quran, which most people don't know. Chapter 5, verse 5 says very clearly, the food of the people of the book, the Quran says, the food of the people of the book, meaning Christians and Jews and others who got the revealed revelation, the food of the people of the book is halal for you as your food is halal for them. How come the clergy doesn't tell people that? Because the halal industry is a big money-making machine for the clergy.
Yes, I understand that. Lots of people say that. So what about things like FGM? Do you think we've pussyfooted around that as well?
FGM is not... Okay, anything you come up about a Muslim doing that's crazy, I can bet on my last bottom pound or dollar, that is nothing to do with the Quran. It's got to do with culture and reputed sayings of Muhammad that were written down 300 years after his death. So many of them are Chinese whispers. And so all of this nonsensical stuff comes from this secondary masculine manufactured sources. For example, this idea of stoning women to death is nowhere to be found in the Quran. That comes from the secondary manufactured sources by men.
I've got to ask this question then. You must have grappled with it because it's happened in Oxford and in Aylesbury. What about these Pakistani, largely Muslim rape gangs? Where's that coming from? That's not religion. Is that culture? What is it, Doug?
I'm trying to give you the dots to connect. I just mentioned you earlier that they create this fictitious division of them and us. So if this is them, if these girls are all them and they're all slappers, forgive me, I don't believe that, but that's how you see them.
Yeah, that's how the police saw them.
So you can do whatever you like to these slappers because they're going to hell anyway. So it doesn't really matter if you fornicate with them, abuse them, pass them along like meat. It doesn't matter because they're already condemned.
So why did the authorities turn a blind eye to it? They've almost admitted that now in Rotherham.
This is where we come with the guardian liberal leftist ideology of being multiculturalist and being politically correct. And that's why I'm so vehemently opposed to multiculturalism. I come from apartheid South Africa, so I know the evils of segregation. There it was institutionalized segregation. Now, in this society, we have voluntary segregation. Parts of Tower Hamlet, parts of Leicester, parts of Leeds, Bradford, whatever. You don't see a white face. I went to give a lecture at the University of Leicester a few months ago, and in the afternoon, I spent 3 hours in a place called Highfields, which is where the Muslim ghetto is, and I deliberately spend that amount of time there going around shops and so forth. And you know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for a white person. I didn't find a single one.
So you do not believe in multiculturalism. You think everyone should tie into the main culture of this country, but you do believe in a multiracial society, obviously.
Absolutely, because a race is something you're born with.
Yeah.
And if I have chosen to become an immigrant to China, so to speak, I would learn how to use chopsticks, speak Mandarin, and wear Chinese garb. Okay, because if I want to become a part of a society that I voluntarily want to join, then I cannot bring my cultural baggage with me and impose it on the indigenous community.
What do you think when we have a terrorist attack and it is an Islamist attack and they don't mention the name for days, or they try to straight away say this is nothing to do with Islam? Well, I think that causes trouble. What do you think?
Well, I think we should always call a spade, and we should stop being so politically correct. I mean, for example, just an example, if Mongolians are killing dogs, so Mongolian immigrants in our country are killing dogs, then we have to identify that they want to kill dogs because they want to make dog stew, okay? And So why are we pussyfooting? Okay. You know, for example, these Pakistani rape gangs are operating. Why are we saying Asian? And they are not Asian in that sense, in a wider sense. We could then identify them more properly. Because, for example, I have many Indian friends, Chinese friends, Thai and Indonesian friends, and they really get upset and say, listen, we don't want to be lumbered with the name of Asian in this sense because we don't do this type of gang raping.
Okay, I fully understand. I've got to wrap in a couple of moments. Just want to ask you a question then. Boris Johnson, clearly you don't think he should apologise. Would you rather have him as Prime Minister than Theresa May?
Yeah, because Theresa May's got no backbone. She's shown in the last 2 years that she doesn't know how to deal with Europe. She wants to have a cake and eat it. And by the way, she's a woman with no integrity. She actually voted to leave. So on what basis does she want to lead the country to leave? She has no principles. She sells herself to the highest bidder. And I think it's far better to have an undiplomatic person like Boris, if that's the only choice. If there's only choice between Boris and May, Theresa May and Boris Johnson, then between these two, I will put my money with Boris Johnson.
And finally, do you believe that relations between Muslims and other communities is being damaged by these kind of rows, i.e. the way Theresa May is dealing with it, or damaged by Boris? Very quickly.
No, I think definitely Theresa May is making damage because instead of Theresa May is backing this burqa facial masking thing only because it's women involved. Do you think she would have come to the defense if men were covering their faces?
Fascinating as usual talking to you. That is Targ Haji. He's the Imam of the Oxford Islamic Congregation. Thank you so much for joining us today. You've been listening to The John Gaunt Show. It's Shooting from the Lip. It's Sputnik International. We're back next week with even more controversial figures had been given the room to speak their mind and express their opinions. This is Shooting from the Lip.
Shooting from the Lip.
If you've got a view, I want to hear it. If you agree, I want to hear it. If you disagree, get in touch. Tell me why I'm wrong, but you better have a good argument.
This is Shooting from the Lip.